You look at same store sales growth of Vishal Mega Mart. The revenue is growing at overall growing at 26%. Same store sales growth is also growing 14%. And they open like 50-55 stores every year. DMart is 70-80% of the business is FMCG.
And out of 80%, 60% is food. We sold the company for 70 crores to TPG and Shriram Group, okay, in 2011. TPG and Shriram Group must have professionalized it, gotten in Mr. Kapoor, all of that from 2011 till they sold it to Kedara in 2018 for 2,300 odd crores.
Even for a consumer tech company, the product UI UX, like what is the consumer going to experience on the app, that I think still continues to be held by the founder. And I think operators now will operate. For you to assume that the operator will take a gut call, ki yaar kar lete hain, customer ko achha lagega, wo nahi kar paate. Because they have been trained to operate with objective principles. There is a growing trend of people now being visible in the public domain a lot more than before. Is that driving more apparel consumption? सिटी मोबीक्विक का क्या सीन है क्या
4300 करोड़ मार्केट कैप
सो देयर आर नाउ एट 500 मिलियन मार्केट कैप डबल हो गया
या
सो देयर बैक टू देयर रियल वैल्यूएशन दैट बेसिकली
मतलब लास्ट राउंड तो 800-900 पे हुआ है
वो छोड़ दे लेट्स अज्यूम दैट वाज ओवरवैल्यूड बट आईटी दे कुड हैव गॉन आईपीओ एट 500 मिलियन आल्सो नहीं क्या
दैट्स व्हाट दैट वर आई वाज वी वर डिबेटिंग ना कि ऐसा क्यों कराया उन्होंने मतलब वाज इट लैक ऑफ डिमांड और दे वर जस्ट यू नो trying to get it like no we don't want to give any chance teesri bari attempt kar rahe hain let's go out and just do it
I'm hearing that there are gatekeepers to IPOs which are I mean usually used to be investment bankers but now it's supposed to be the DII the mutual fund industry which is saying we are the price makers and this is the price that we can make if you want to go IPO and maybe that's what they got as an indication from the large size DIIs. Because, see, you can't do a 500 crore IPO with only retail investors. And if you need good DIIs, you have to maybe take the price that they give. Like, I was hearing that even for Swiggy IPO, the FIIs were okay at maybe a little higher price, but the DIIs were very clear at that the listing, like, the IPO price has to be 390. The rumor is that the FIIs were okay at 430, 440 also. So there seems to be a price sensitivity in DIIs considering they have 1.5 lakh crore cash. And I mean, they are the ones who will also support the IPO post-listing, right? Like if tomorrow peak 15 holds, whatever, 16-17% in the business, that is a large block, right? At 500 million, that's still what?
80 million.
Haan, ab 80 million kharidne ke liye to you need a DII, right?
Yeah. I also feel founder.
Why would you do a? I think they did a 500 crore IPO.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you do a smaller one? Cash.
But again, raising so cash was also enough float,
like,
no?
It's 20% dilution, na?
A one, Shantanu is right. One is float. Second is see if you're talking to a ICICI or a SBI mutual fund was 1.5 lakh crore. He'd be like, boss, 20-30 crore se main kya karunga karke? It won't move the needle for me. So, this is the price. This is my minimum check size, which effectively takes the IPO through, no? If you think about it.
Yeah.
So, if you have 5 or 10 DIIs who can underwrite 500 crores for you and who are saying this is the price, that's the way to maybe let the IPO happen. And post-listing, okay, it's 20% dilution. But if you think about it, you know, it's 100x from 100% up from the IPO price, and I'm sure.
And also, you know, MobiQuick has been 14 years in the business. That business was like wanting another lease of life. It was not like booming as a business.
Number to theek hai, 1,000 crore revenue, profitable seems like a good business, nahi kya?
But they were the first ones to go. They were the first wallet in the country, right? Imagine Paytm came after that, and Paytm is like multi x size of them. Right, so market is saying that, okay, you know, subscale, by far, you know, there is a number one player who has also gone through these ups and downs. Wo wala thoda factor bhi hai. I think they didn't want to miss the bus this time, for sure.
I also think another thing with founders valuing conservatively, especially after the Paytm Nykaa days, now, I think is that they prefer like the public markets to rally the stock up. That's a better story in general, internally from a motivation standpoint, just generally from a, you know, sentiment standpoint, then kind of having a high listing price, which might be kind of aggressive, and then becoming a lot more vulnerable to ups and downs, which is what happened with Paytm and Nykaa a lot in the first couple of years. So
yeah, I think it's very hard to know the real price as a venture backed founder. Founders you've built in private for years really find it hard to understand how public markets work. Even if you understand how public markets work, it's a completely different ecosystem. Like, we spend years and years meeting other venture-backed private company founders as well as VCs and PEs, etc. And that's the network where reality and perception, there are two tracks, but at least it's with the private guys. Now, if you're to do that again with the entire public market ecosystem, that's going to take a lot more years. I just think sometimes if you have a great CFO, a great IR person, maybe the right investment bankers, there is a possibility where you could get a better price as well. But yeah. I think you're right. In the end, kitna hi optimize karoge, maybe just getting listed was the goal here. And they said, get it done. I'm sure if Swiggy really pushed through, because even Swiggy is at 600, right? I mean, they listed at 400 and it's a $15-16 billion company. They went IPO at $10 billion. It's a massive $5 billion of value they left on the table, if you think about it. Now, I think that if you go back 2 months before the IPO, there were talks from Swiggy that our potential listing price should be 15 billion. Now, why they went at 10 is, I think, market forces. And if the market forces behave that way, and especially at that size, right, if you want a $1 billion IPO to go through, you need the large guys to back you. And you need the large guys to say that, boss, main dal raha hu 200 crore type se. तो 200 करोड़ डालने वाले लोग अगर बोलेंगे बॉस यही प्राइस है तो यही प्राइस है क्या करोगे. आई थिंक यू नो इट्स वेरी मच लाइक व्हेन ज़र्प वाज एट इट्स पीक एंटरप्रेन्योर्स वेर हैड द अपर हैंड बिकॉज देयर वाज अ लॉट ऑफ मनी एंड एंटरप्रेन्योर्स कुड आस्क व्हाटएवर वैल्यूएशन दे वांट. व्हाइल देयर इज अ लॉट ऑफ मनी इन कैपिटल मार्केट्स, आई थिंक इट्स वेरी क्लियर, मे बी दैट वॉज पोस्ट द लर्निंग ऑफ यू नो द स्टॉक क्रैशेस that happened for the 2021 and 2022 IPOs. The mutual fund industry has smartened up and said, boss, while we really like your business and we see potential upside, there is almost like some risk on predictability and compounding and consistency. We would rather be conservative on pricing tech IPOs or venture-backed IPOs. And if you do well, you do well, great. But we would love to be as conservative as possible because we have been bitten once before.
Yeah.
And now that has started happening, I'm sure it's just becoming the norm. They're like, boss, hum to yahi pricing denge karke. I mean, I don't know. I'm speculating, just to be very clear.
But looks like somebody's hearing and saying, one day, you know, you get these 50, 60, 70% jumps. So it looks like that, you know, the supply of this money is controlling the price that, you know, both in Nykaa and Paytm and some of the early ones which were priced like supremely well, they didn't make returns. So now they are very sure that, you know, we want to make like returns day one.
Even if they don't make returns, because see, a mutual fund who's put 100 crores can't get liquidity at this price. There will always be some discount to current price because sometimes it's driven by pent up retail demand or people who couldn't get into the IPO will start buying. Plus they have lock-ins as well, right? People who have subscribed to the IPOs before. But more critically, I think A1 is, you're right, they have overcorrected. Second, now that they know that this is okay, and I'm sure this is a norm because every IPO is popping, right? Like, whether it's a 500 crore IPO or a $1 billion IPO, everything is up 50%. And by the way, if you look at AWFIS, right, that's like up 70-80% since IPO. That was also a venture-backed company. And that price is not just a bubble price, because there was a stock, there was a block deal right now where Peak 15 and Chris Cap sold to DIS again at current market price at about $700, which is 80% higher than the listing price, which happened like less than 6 months back. So clearly, if every IPO is getting liquidity at these prices, I think they're just making hay while the sun shines and saying, if we have if we have the capital to make sure that your IPO goes through, price to hamara hoga. It's typical economics, right? I mean, whoever has the upper hand will always try to make a little extra in that sense.
Should we officially begin or?
Welcome to episode 6, guys. But you know what, honestly, I think while we have kind of started off with a continuation of MobiQuick, which we discussed in some depth last time, today we have something really cool and Chirag's going to run us through something for episode 6. So, yeah, welcome.
Okay, thanks, Shantanu. I think we are amidst, you know, in between a series of IPOs. There's one another interesting one which happened yesterday. I don't know for what reason. It's not, you know, outside of numbers, but at least I didn't find a lot of exuberance amongst us founders. But this is a company which is, very different, you know, from today's world, wherein we are talking about founders' mindset, founders leading. There is this Brian Chesky video which keeps going, doing the rounds. And this is a company which is run by private equity guys, right? Fully. Yeah. So that's very different. We are today running in a world where we are like every day, every third message on WhatsApp group is about quick commerce. And this is a company about organized retail. We are today discussing Vishal Mega Mart, which got listed yesterday. The IPO was at 33,000 crores. Again, got a pop. Now it's trading at 50,000 crores as a market cap. And very, very interesting company from multiple angles. But before we go there in terms of doing a little bit of deep dive, by any chance, any of you have been to a Vishal Mega Mart store?
We are Bombay Shaving Company is now listed in Vishal Mega Mart as of 1 month back. So we have done the recce significantly, and it's a very unique retail environment. I must say.
I have no clue. I've never seen a store also. Bombay mein hai kya store?
70% stores are in tier 2, but there will be some stores in tier 1. But primarily there are tier 2, tier 3 organized retailer.
Very interesting.
And, you know, I have been to their store. They are one of our clients, or at least one of the companies is one of our clients. And I've been to their stores. So their stores are, you know, we are all used to, or today's world is about looking up to Zudio, which has been scaling up really well, is trendy. But this is very functional designed stores. Right. If you go there, you will not find that jazz, new look, trendy, luxurious feel which you get in a studio. It's very functional. You will feel like, you know, you have entered an efficient or an Indianized version of Costco. That kind of view you will get. Interesting. But by the way, that takes me to, you know, we have all become used to shopping online. Where do you guys shop? Do you guys go to ever to any of these organized retailers these days to, let's say, shop clothes, or is it all online?
I do think that clothes, for example, I'm not a clothes buyer. Clearly, I have been wearing the same uniform for Asymmetric for the last 4 episodes. So clearly my variety is not there. But I do feel like if I see my parents or see my friends, family, I think the discoverability of a large format retail store has not been recreated either online or in general trade in any meaningful way. Those large aisles, the ability to see multiple categories in huge, you know, shelves, which are 3, 4, 5 tier, big packs. I don't know whether you've seen like a Maggi 1 kilo pack or a detergent 10 liter pack. You can't understand the category fully until you go there. So I think large format retail will have a place, especially from a discoverability standpoint. And new launches. For us, example, new launches, we genuinely believe, like, you know, a large format retailer is the best place to kind of get it in the hands of the customer.
Revad, what's your go-to? I'm sure all three of us don't go shop for ourselves.
I mean, you are on the WhatsApp group where recently you saw the fight that we had. So there's a group that we have, Shantanu, where all the people who are going on holiday at the year end. Huh. And Arti was like, you don't have good clothes to wear on a holiday. So she was obviously, you know, just shopping in Myntra, and every day some parcel would come and she's like, try this on, size theek hai, nahi hai, return karna hai, nahi karna hai karke. So there is a fridge pe Little Joy's ka, we have a like a to-do list kind of thing. Uspe Arnav wrote, Mama gone crazy with shopping. Oh my God, smiley, smiley. Because every day evening, he would see like, you know, kuch aa raha hai and, you know, Aarti is like, try this. And, you know, that's the only discussion we're having for the last 5 days. So that's the reality for me. So, I mean, I have shopped offline, but it's more like, you know, you're at a mall and you see something like, chalo le lo karke types, right? Otherwise, if you have to do it, largely as a timed event, I think to the convenience over discovery versus price, etc., I think convenience is winning, at least for where we are, which is, let's say, top 1% of the country, largely is going towards convenience. I mean, if you see Myntra's results, I don't know if you saw FY24, only vertical retailer to be profitable, of course, after Nykaa, but it's commendable, right? I think, what, 5,000-6,000 crore revenue and profitable.
Yeah,
it's the shining star in the Flipkart group, right? From a growth as well as profitability perspective. So clearly, and they cater to more tier one India. I think Flipkart caters to a lot more tier two. So tier one, I think AOVs are higher, convenience. They're the only ones who's launched 30 minute apparel now. They're in fact launching, I'm hearing, 30 minute beauty personal care as well.
Yeah.
So would be interesting to understand what is Vishal Megamart doing. That's for the tier two India where... because I don't know if you guys saw this, there is a 15 minute or 30 minute delivery service grocery for tier 2 India also that got funded. It only does tier 2, tier 3 cities. 30 minute FMCG grocery delivery. I forgot the name of the company, but I read in the news sometime between. And if you see Blinkit's expanding to every tier 2, tier 3 city, you can't put 1,000 dark stores in only tier 1 cities. So. Yeah. Would be interesting to see. I have not seen the numbers. If you have something, would be great to see what's happening year on year, quarter on quarter. And what is their product mix? I mean, even in...
I think on Vishal Megamart, right? I think we should come to that. I think the one thing for us, at least what we realize is, one is it's got a tier two. It's got, I think, 700, 800 stores now in tier two. Payback period for the stores is now coming back. But very interestingly, 45% and maybe slightly higher is now apparel. Okay.
Let me Shantanu take you through all the data. I think that's why I wanted to like set this up that we are all, you know, keep looking at India 1.0.1 companies. This is a company which is a little bit of on the other side.
India 2
and has a massive scale, right? Just for context, they do like they're trending 10,000 crores of revenue.
Yes.
Right. It's not, you know, I was just doing broad maths. If India retail is what, 850 billion, you know, organized retail out of that will be what, 12-15%. So 120 billion, they are 1% of that market. Right. If you think about it, they are 1% of India's organized retail and they are a primarily tier two, tier three player. It's fantastic. You know, while we run startups and we keep figuring out premiumization play, let's go out and serve India one. I think there is a lot of juice here, which some of the, it's of course a hard business to build. It's a very different DNA. We'll go into details, but you know, this is what I found fascinating here. Another interesting thing, I think, you know, this business runs in the bloods of this Agarwal family. You know, they are, the Vishal Megamart is not the only listed company from the family. So the history is that in 2011, the promoter sold the company to TPG and then TPG sold to Kedara. Promoter started another company later on called V2 Retail, which is already listed, is now what, 5,500 crores market cap. And there's another cousin of his who used to work in the same company, Vishal Megamart, who started V-Mart. That's also listed and that's 7,500 crores. So total, the Vishal group or Vishal family today is like 50,000 plus these two companies. So looking like 65,000 crores. Right. But so you know, clearly they know the tricks of the trade. All of them are doing this tier two value retailing fashion heavy business, which is a 4-5% PAT business. But I think it's just phenomenal. You know, how could we miss such companies?
But interestingly, on this one, right, and you touched upon this before, and we can come to it later also. So Ram Agarwal, who built this out very slowly and steadily because of 2008 recession, this, that. He sold the company for 70 crores to TPG and Shriram Group, okay, in 2011. TPG and Shriram Group must have professionalized it, gotten in Mr. Kapoor, all of that. From 2011 till they sold it to Kedara in 2018 for 2,300 odd crores. So 70 crores to 2,300 crores. And that 2,300 crores, which Kedara and Partners Group kind of bought it for or majority for, is now 50,000 crores. So this is value accretion, which is private equity, kind of controlled private equity level and professionalization of what is clearly a very heavy tier two, tier three business, which is commendable. So it's very cool to see this happen in a way that, for example, DMart has been totally the opposite, right? Very promoter driven and continues to be. But yeah.
Yeah. Let's go through some of these numbers quickly. You know, this is last year, 9,000 crores of revenue, now trending 10,000 crores plus in FY25. From a gross profit point of view, you know, and look at the growth. It's like 60% growth over the last 2 years, which has happened in a business which is predominantly or like 100% offline and is dependent on growth in that sector as well as new stores coming up. We'll come to, you know, understanding this kind of business in detail. Look at gross profit. I think gross profit is around 27-28%, quite steady. And steadily, you know, as revenue is scaling, that's like continues to be onward on a good path. EBITDA margins, you know, 14 odd percent, stable, looks like an efficient supply chain in place, efficient, you know, store operations in place, which is there. And the most, I think, fascinating is while the numbers from PAT point of view have moved from 4-5%, look at the absolute amount. 2,000 crores of profit has become 4,600 crores profit. I think this year they're going to end around 5,200-5,300 crores of profit, right? So, you know, I was just doing broad maths from a ROCE point of view. This is like a 50% plus business. Yeah. Fantastic.
461 million.
Yeah, 461.
So this will be 500 crores plus of profit this year.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
So 100x PAT pe chal raha hai basically. So it's I think trading for future profit.
Yeah, and just, you know, more context so that these become numbers become real. DMart is of course higher in terms of revenue. Let's say Jubilant Foodworks is around 5,000 crores revenue.
Yeah.
Right. So just for context, Page Industries is 5,000 crores revenue.
But branded revenue.
What's your sense? My sense is India has less than 200 companies which are greater than 50,000 crore market cap. Right. So it's like a, in my view, it's like a crown jewel company. It might not be the TCSs of the world, but I think it's a fantastic business.
Yeah.
Iska kuch breakup hai kya? I agree. But it's interesting that because we don't spend that much time in tier two and tier three cities. We don't know what's happening there. Would be interesting to know iska breakup kya hai. Like, ye 10,000 crore ka revenue mein kya bech rahe hai? Electronics bech rahe hai, fashion bech rahe hai.
So this is how, you know, it compares, you know, what Revant, you were asking, sales mix. So this is a business which is heavy on apparel, but has a mix of FMCG and general merchandise. I think it's a good slide to understand, good chart to understand the retail business. That, you know, are you heavy on discretionary versus non-discretionary? And I think another axis is, do you have private labels?
What is general merch?
General merchandise is like more houseware stuff, not the FMCG stuff.
Kitchenware, electronics, stuff like that.
If you look at both V2, unka tino business, V2 Retail, V-Mart or Vishal Megamart, they seem to be the only ones who are doing general merch, which is more...
Correct.
Could also be one, wo bartan, jhadu, ye sab cheeze bhi general merch mein aata hoga, as you
know. Wo rehta hai usually DMart mein.
But does it seem to be a large part of, maybe that goes in, I don't know what goes in FMCG.
Look at DMart. DMart is 70-80% of the business is FMCG.
And out of 80%, 60% is food.
Yeah.
So wahan pe bhi there is a significant
food. It starts
food
to reflect in their, this also, you know, I have a comparison thing wherein it starts to show in their margin profile also. So from a gross margin perspective, they are very different businesses, right? Look at Trent, which is now, which has Zudio. That's 82% fashion.
आई थॉट इट शुड बी 90-100%. और क्या बेचते हैं फैशन छोड़ के?
आई फॉर अ सरप्राइज आई हैव नेवर बीन टू अ स्टूडियो.
आई एक्चुअली हैव. आई मीन दैट इज वन थिंग आई एम प्रीटी प्राउड ऑफ दैट. थाने में एक स्टोर था. आई डिडंट नो इट्स सो बिग. दिस वाज लाइक 5-6 इयर्स बैक. सो व्हेन अर्नव वाज यंग, वो होता ना बहुत 6-6 महीने में कपड़े छोटे हो जाते हैं. तो वी वुड बी लाइक कि यार इतने महंगे महंगे कपड़े क्यों लेने हैं. आरती टोल्ड मी दैट दिस इज अ कूल प्लेस, यू नो, यहाँ पे 300-300 रुपए में मिलता है करके. आई एम लाइक बहुत बढ़िया यार, तो वही लेते हैं करके. इट वॉज वेरी क्लोज टू द हाउस, लाइक घर के नीचे ही टाइप्स था. सो दैट्स व्हेन आई फर्स्ट डिस्कवर्ड स्टूडियो. प्रीटी इंटरेस्टिंग. But I have never seen anything beyond apparel there. Anyway, I think let's continue on the Vishal.
Yeah, from a growth perspective, of course, you know, revenue wise, as I said, that they're closer to 10,000 crores. I think Zudio is still 5,000 crore, close to 5,000 crores this year. You compare this to a DMart. DMart is close to 50,000 crores in terms of revenue. From a growth perspective, I think except Zudio, which is like killing it, and hence Trent is like upward of 50%. I think all of them are seem to be growing like 20-odd%. And what is a little bit more fascinating here is, while, you know, we discussed this, that there is this economy slowdown. We looked at some companies like, you know, Barbecue Nation, Jubilant, which are not doing their same sales, store sales growth is not growing, etc. This segment seems to be doing really well. Like, you know, and if we go a little bit ahead, you look at same store sales growth of Vishal Mega Mart. It's the revenue is growing at overall growing at 26%. Same store sales growth is also growing 14%. And they open like 50-55 stores every year. Right. So something is happening, which, you know, we should probably deep dive that what are we seeing in terms of growth. Or is there a muted growth, or is there a partial subsector muted growth which is happening? Because this sector seems to be doing well. I think what is interesting here is
when there is narrative about rural consumption slowing down, jo ye FMCG companies ek der saal se de rahi hai, wo rural T2, T3, is it beyond T3 and beyond, or does that cover T2 as well? Because this seems to be bucking that trend, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's apparel, which is consumption, it's discretionary consumption, right? Or grocery. तो T2 T3 में तो ठीक चल रहा है इनके हिसाब से, because
correct.
If you take, तो where is
all these companies? Look at all these companies. All of them are 30% around 30% growth, except Zudio of course, which is higher, but all of them seem to be growing.
नहीं, मैं तो I'm focusing on same store sales growth, right? But because forget the store expansion, but a same store sales growth of 10% also, in my view, at least is growth.
Yeah.
Whereas when the FMCG companies come and say our volume growth is 2%. Because rural consumption has slowed down, so कहीं match नहीं हो रहा है. Maybe that's only because DMart, but even DMart is 9% same store. Or are they sort of shifting from grocery to discretionary spends like apparel?
The first four rows is definitely apparel first. Also, what is happening with Vishal, and one thing which we should filter here is 70% of their revenue comes from their own brands. So that is a huge, huge differentiator. From a retailer standpoint, 70% from own brands is a big, big one.
But that's for margin, no, Shantanu? I agree, that's a great thing, but that will drive more margin, right? Why would that drive?
Yeah, you see that in the margin profile, yeah.
Like, there is one hypothesis I have, which is a very lazy hypothesis, if I can call it, ki as Instagram has gone from 150 million to 600 million people, I mean, looking good is, I mean, clearly, see, I'm changing my shirt every asymmetric podcast. So I need, no, seriously, just look at the content.
Clearly is not on Instagram then. He's only on LinkedIn.
But think about it, right? Like, there is a growing trend of people now being visible in the public domain a lot more than before. Is that driving more apparel consumption? Because if these guys are all apparel first, and लोग बोल रहे हैं कि भाई तेल साबुन कम ले रहे हैं टीयर टू टीयर थ्री में, बट कपड़े ज्यादा खरीद रहे हैं.
आपको आइडिया है? नो रेवंत, हैव यू स्पोकन टू अ 20-25 ईयर ओल्ड किड टुडे अबाउट हाउ दे बाय फैशन, हाउ दे बाय क्लोथ्स? दे हाउ डू थ्री ऑफ अस बाय क्लोथ्स? थ्री ऑफ अस बाय क्लोथ्स की कितना चलेगा, लंबा चलेगा, ड्यूरेबल क्वालिटी, ये सब ना, इनको कोई घंटा नहीं फर्क पड़ता. दे ओनली वॉन्ट डिजाइन. सो रेगुलर फैशन एग्नोस्टिक चिल्ड्रन ऑल्सो, यंग पीपल इन द ऑफिस आर बाइंग शर्ट्स एंड ट्राउजर्स की हाउ मेनी वॉशेस, नंबर ऑफ वॉशेस, 8 वॉशेस, 10 वॉशेस, 5 वॉशेस. राइट देयर बाइंग कितने लाइक सो इफ दे नो इट्स अ फाइव वॉश पीस दे नो कि ये 2 महीने चलना है सो फ्रीक्वेंसी ऑफ परचेसिंग इज सिग्निफिकेंटली इंक्रीजिंग एओवी माइट बी रिड्यूसिंग बिकॉज दे आर नॉट बाइंग फॉर क्वालिटी एंड फ्रेंकली दैट्स वेयर सम ऑफ दिस कम्स अप बिकॉज देन द कॉम्प्लेक्सिटी इंक्रीजेस बिकॉज नाउ द बिजनेस काइंड ऑफ हैज साइकल्स दैट आर वेरी वेरी शॉर्ट यू डोंट हैव लाइक अ सीजन एनी मोर यू हैव समटाइम्स वीक्स एंड मंथ्स एंड दैट्स प्रीटी मच इट
I think another, you know, interesting thing for us to see is their average order value is not like as high or they're half of DMart. I was just doing with their, you know, 10,000 crores of sales. If you take average order value of 1,000 rupees, looks like they do 100 million transactions in a year. And, you know, we can do like some guess estimate that people are going to shop 4 times in a year on this kind of a retailer. So that looks like 25 million unique users are shopping every year on Vishal Megamart. Isn't that a crazy number?
Yeah. 99.5% of it is, by the way, completely offline. So they've started their e-commerce online stuff, but that is like under 0.5%. So this is all people going into a store and buying.
So DMart, in spite of high grocery being high AOV, is because of loading up. Ki tum ek mahine ja rahe ho aur sab kuch saath mein khareed rahe ho karke.
Even that reflects in the gross margin. Na? Look at their gross margin. So they will of course have higher revenue per square feet, lower gross margin, but because they are very like staples, heavy play. I think that's why, you know, understanding retail business is interesting from a point of view or that how much mix you have of discretionary versus staples and then how much percentage is private labels. Look at, you know, this right side bottom graph. Which is about a percentage private label in all of these value retailers. Vishal Megawatt is, as Shantanu was saying, 70% is private labels. That is the real differentiator. And in my view, you know, it's a hard business. 1,000 rupee AOV, you have to do private label. You have to be super efficient in terms of supply chain. Demand forecasting because, you know, this is not FMCG where you have limited SKUs. This is like fashion prediction. I was reading somewhere that they follow this Maggi philosophy wherein Maggi prices haven't gone up. Of course, the grammage has gone down, but they continue to have a t-shirt offering at $99. So they have acquisition hooks and then they use that to, you know, it's very interesting that they have fashion on the ground floor. They have FMCG on the first floor and then they have the other third category general merchandise on the second floor. That's how typically their stores are designed. So higher gross margin items on the ground floor and then gross margin reduces, staples increase as you go up.
This is hard. By the way, 99 rupee shirt, t-shirt and 799 rupee jeans. I think these are the two things that they have really disrupted from a cart standpoint. And but the good part of the apparel is that the majority of the value in the supply chain actually happens post-COGS. So there's 90% of value in the post-COGS zone, which is where you can see it happening in their gross margin. It's almost double of DMart is because A, it's a private label, so they're not trading the business beyond a point.
I remember speaking to someone at one of their promoters long back. He was telling me that their in-store conversion is around 75%. So if 100 people come to the store, 75 end up shopping. I don't know.
What is the equivalent for a DMart?
DMart also would be like pretty much much higher. DMart mein ghusne ke liye, you know, you need to have strong intent.
Yeah. Another good thing about apparel, and this is something that people may kind of gloss over a little bit, is pilferage in apparel probably is a lot lower. It's harder to do pilferage in apparel compared to staples. So, for example, even categories like ghee, have 1 to 1.5% pilferage. So people come in and they hide up to 1 kilo of ghee under their clothes and they walk out of a store. Which will be difficult to do in apparel because it's just a harder product to pick up.
I would assume easy.
10K. Unlikely, yeah.
They don't have these, just say, Shopper Stop and all these other stores have these डिटेक्टर्स एंड स्टफ लाइक दैट
इज नॉट वर्क
बिकॉज़ 99 रुपीस शर्ट में तुम क्या ही
वो अरे वो आप
अप्लाइंग दैट वुड बी बिगर
आप कभी वो मुलुंड के डीमार्ट या रिलायंस रिटेल में जाना देयर आर रफली 50 टू 60 पीपल वॉकिंग आउट पर मिनट वो बजेगा टीटीटीटी करता रहता है हु लाइक दे हैव हाउ विल यू कैच व्हाट इज हैपनिंग देयर सो दैट आरएफआईडी प्रोटेक्शन इज काइंड ऑफ इट डजंट वर्क like they it's a part of their cost like this is cost pilferage cost is part of cost they bake it into the margin structure they negotiate with the brands
but yaar dmart ke is scale pe 50,000 crore ke scale pe to bol raha hai 1% pilferage hota hoga it's like if 80% is grocery I'm saying
yeah 1-2% pilferage cost hai unka in general across
what are you saying 500 crores they lose on pilferage
yes
wow
yes Easy. Why do you think Gillette locks up its razors? Locker mein rakhte hain yaar wo. There it's in lock.
Because you can actually stuff it down your pants.
It's very easy. Chotu things which are high value are the easiest. So batteries, Mark 3 and Fusion blades. Ye sab to bahut hi important to kind of protect.
I think interesting
why level seen... problems discuss kar rahe hain matlab ye I don't think the mutual fund guys have gone and looked at you know
they have looked at revenue per square lock. feet pat and Haan. Said this is a great business but I think we should Revanth would love to get your views and you know I haven't seen a lot of these private equity run companies go IPO at such a scale I've seen, I think Vini also, Vini Cosmetics got acquired by a private equity, but it's still not listed, right? So how does, you know, we of course have had this view or maybe we are, bounded by our own conditioning that, you know, founder mindset, founder run companies, Zomato is doing well, et cetera, and here we are, you know, this is on the other side. What is your sense that will we see more of this private equity companies do this or what is it different?
I think so this has happened in the West a lot before and I think it used to happen in India not at this scale where you would have professionals being bought in to run a company where a private equity owns majority and a professional management team has ESOPs between 5-10% or equity between 5-10% and they're incentivized to take the company 4x, 5x and earn the upside as well because they have equity. This has been happening in India quite a lot. But you're right that not a lot of these companies have gone IPO. Usually they switch from one private equity owner to another private equity owner. And the entrepreneurs or the management team keeps getting maybe some liquidity in between, but it's hard to keep someone excited for 10 years without taking the company public. I could argue DMart is an example of, a professionally run company while keeps credit.
But I think that's day one professional. It's day one.
Correct.
It's day one. It's not so, like day one, founders logged and then did the initial PMF, ran for 4-5 years and then gave it. It was day one.
So this happens a lot. Yeah, this happens a lot in lending, for example, because lending is a very precise science and there are professionals who have done lending in NBFCs and banks and there could be a lot of private equity players who will start a lending company with a professional team on board on day one. Very hard to do in retail, I think. Very, very hard to do in consumer brands, consumer tech. This largely happens in financial services, which is anyway the largest portion of our GDP in some sense. But you are right again that not a lot of them have gone IPO.
Also, haven't people tried doing this in some other avatar where there was a founder, not a private equity, wherein Mensa brand tried to acquire brands, built out a financial leverage type of a business. Of course, that's far from IPO.
I think it will go. From what I'm hearing, the company is now at about 2,000 crore revenue and mostly in a year or two, they'll go IPO. I think it's harder in brands because brands are built with emotion. See, brands are a very purpose-driven initiative. And usually it's the founder's purpose or passion that really comes out to build brands, right? And authenticity only comes from there. It's very hard to build brands with a cutthroat professional mindset. But lending that way is, As I said, art versus science में, the more you go towards science, कि यार underwriting skills होनी चाहिए, कैसे आपको collections करना है, किस base को lend करना है, नहीं करना है, insurance in some way can be done that way. So a lot of the, if I can call it, for lack of a better word, financial engineering, objective thought process professionals, can be backed, I think, by PE players and to go for this. I think retail is very hard. So what the management team here has done, and I think Shantanu has a little bit better understanding of how the private equity players in this case actually got a solid operating team to create all of these outcomes. Because it's very hard for PE guys to influence this apart from getting the best management team in that sense, right? And while they watch the numbers like a hog, in the end, a lot of this boils down to, have you got the best CEO, CBO, sales guy, etc., right? Yeah. Much harder to do in retail, so makes this journey even more commendable. I've seen this in lending, I've seen this in financial services, very rare to see this in retail as such. So that way, pretty commendable. And I'm hoping that this will happen a lot more now, because the talent density, I think, see, we were also in our early stages of the entrepreneurial ecosystem. If you see the last 10, 20 years, first, go back 20 years, right? It was not sexy to start out a company. It was not sexy to work at a startup. So people did the cookie cutter jobs where, oh, if you're at Unilever, if you are at, I'll use Shantanu's favorite word, McKinsey, then you are essentially, you know, in that straight line. In the last 20 years, we have now seen a lot of professionals learn how to operate with scarcity mindset, learn to operate with constraints, learn to create a large amount of impact. And usme bhi there are a lot of ups and downs, right? There is noise and signal. Noise is basically Zerpera startups that everyone believed would create value but couldn't. And therefore, the learnings in those startups for operators may not have been the best. So as that ecosystem of operators is evolving, I think PE firms are also getting a lot more deeper expertise on people who have built out companies this way. And you will see more and more companies now maybe going for this. One trend, for example, is how venture capitalists have caught on to this by saying, if you are a senior operator or a second time founder, then there is a large pool of capital where they are backing the founder in some ways and that idea. And a lot of these are very traditional businesses, which just may not have a winner take all, but one more player may have one unique wedge to get in and build something like that, right? So Dale Waz, who was CTO at Swiggy, maybe be building in wealth tech. There are 20 wealth tech companies, but it's such a large growing market that, you know, one more wealth tech company can do well, right? So there's no reason why they would not back it. I think this will happen more and more as the ecosystem deepens, if you ask me.
No, I think also this is a classic example of how the private equity operator driven professionalizing of companies and then value creation, which is then shared, is played out. So, for example, the example we gave of DMart, right? Mr. Damani got Damodar Mal, Neville, etc., a bunch of Unilever mid managers to kind of come and build out DMart. Neville stayed on and, of course, is now known as the one first billionaire who's a professional CEO and not the founder, right? And that's a very well-documented story. Even in this case, there was someone who was 23, 24 years at Unilever, then was CEO of Reliance Retail. And Mr. Kapoor is now one of the most respected retail gurus in the country. And think about it. He was an advisor at TPG, became CEO of Vishal Megamart, which was bought for 70 crores in a distress situation. So to imagine what a 70 crore asset post-2009 would look like for him to, at the 27, 28 year point in his career after being CEO of Reliance Retail, to take on. So he calls himself on LinkedIn also investor CEO. So he's also possibly put in significant amount of capital, which is personal in nature, along with TPG and Shriram Group, bought the business and then has run it for the last 14 years. And now his position, now this is, we don't know, but people call him the $150 million man. So 1000 crore ka position personally, which is, in my view, something which is like kind of a quasi investor, founder, CEO. I think he's all three in one, right? And that value that he's created for himself reflects the value that he's created, a 50,000 crore company, taken it from TPG Shriram Group, then working with Kedara and Partners Group, and now with the public. it's good that, you know, it's good that operators like him are like kind of like becoming a part of the value pool and not just founders and investors.
And just for viewers, how much would it be fair to say that private equity guys would be looking at doing a 3x in 5 years?
Yes.
With like very, very good certainty.
Yes.
And also, you know, okay. And also, while we were talking about sectors, I think I do get that financial services where it's less emotion. I think that's one sector. Do you think about it should happen in real estate, infrastructure also, where globally it has happened? But I don't know if in India, does it, I think groups also do it, like Godrej Group has enough, you know, backing and to do this on their own. But
Please, I think tried it. If you go back to 2008 to 12, most PE firms used to largely do power and infra. In fact, most of their portfolio. Abhi aap jaoge to website pe aapko dikhega nahi ho portfolio. But like even a venture, like I remember talking to Avnish, which is Z47 today, used to be Matrix. First fund was largely power and infra. Very traditional businesses, retail, power, infra. There were a lot of PE funds that shut shop by 2014-15 with their 10-year fund cycle, because the 2005-06 vintage largely would do power and infra. Was an abysmal, mostly negative IRR returns for most funds. Some corporate governance issues, some policy changes, but overall I think this used to happen, and I don't think people want to touch that with a tent pole now, that sector. I don't know, maybe there are some ballsy PEs out there who still do it, but I largely see retail and FS, which is 60-70% of GDP anyway for us, right? It's maybe a safer way to stay in the lane, and there's enough pools of capital to back, enough entrepreneurs to leverage this pool of capital and sort of build out in these two sectors.
Yeah. Blackstone over a period of time was at one point, I don't know about now, but was at one point about at a square footage level, Blackstone was the number two real estate company in the country.
Still would be, no?
Ab pata nahi, I have not seen it recently, but till, I think till COVID.
Aari to alag hi market hai. Aari also has enough policy governance question marks, but I think funds who do Aari really know how to do Aari.
Yeah.
I mean, they, I'm sure, shape policy in Aari, if not anything, right? So, and Aari, as a growing economy, real estate, I don't see a way where they will let go of not, I mean, they would definitely play that sector. And there are different ways to create, I mean, it's in some way, again, more, little bit of emotion, but I think the science has been perfected by a level by all these large PE guys there.
But how about, let's say we zoom in on the startup sector, where we have seen Warburg Pincus invest in Boat.
Yeah.
I think they own significant stake, and Chris Capital owns in Wow Skin Science.
Nice.
Right. So it started to happen, and I don't know, has this worked out? It's still early days. Like I think Boat is still what, 3 years into the investment. Maybe Wow Skin Science is more. But I think some of these exits, and by the way, both are brand businesses. So
I have a view on this where I think brands need founder passion. Matlab, without that, I really...
But Revan, would you say that even at scale, you know, Boat was doing 4,000 crores of revenue. So it's pretty much the brand has been built out, unless we say founder is the brand. In Aman's case,
so
we can say that.
Yeah, Aman's case, you can say that founder is the brand. But I think even if founder is not the brand, I think 2-3 episodes back, I had mentioned this. The pace of change of human psychological behavior, like look at what is happening. Na? Every 10 saal mein behavior change hota tha. Phir agle every 5 saal mein hone laga. Ab yaar Insta algo change hota hai, behavior change ho jata hai. Because Insta algo change hone pe, you are now suddenly seeing... everybody starts feeding you something different, and you are trying sort of shaping behavior for the youth in India. So what people wanted in a wearable or a headphone or a earphone 5 years back has changed very drastically. So you need to be nimble-footed to not only look at innovation, but also nimble-footed in terms of how do you sort of keep playing for adjacencies in a brand. Now, the brand can always stand for one thing.
Maybe then, Revan, it takes us to that question of that, you know, can private equity teams build out these agile teams for today? Right? If that's the need of the hour.
That's the bigger question.
Brand. Yeah. Is it possible, which founders are able to do that, you know, keep very tuned to what is happening every 3 months and then keep changing? Maybe that's become our like first nature. But are these people professionally, can they be brought professionally into a team and then asked to run a company in a very agile, nimble way, wherein, you know, you build these product development capabilities, media consumption capabilities, which keep changing?
I have a very strong point of view on this. I think, for example, if you are able to, what makes founders, successful founders work is there's a tremendous amount of competence. There is an incentive structure through equity that works. And then there is an ecosystem through capital, team, etc. that makes it happen. This trifecta of things is what makes founder-driven businesses. Now, Revan calls it the passion of founders, purpose of business, etc. What works over a period of time is this trifecta. I have a feeling that this trifecta is now being replicated by private equity and even some growth stage venture companies, which is you get in a professional management to solve for competence. Incentive structures through equity they're structuring it now a lot better, a lot more sharing and so on. And then there is long runway of capital. There is empowerment. There is now a lot lesser Lala mindset in terms of once you have someone competent and you give them freedom, then you kind of step back and become enablers in a way. So I think a lot of private equity funds, at least the ones who have long views, and this has worked in the US and even China to a large extent, is they're trying to create the founder, what founders do, in an artificial way through with assets that they might have bought out, or, you know, like in the case of Vishal, where at, you know, in a distressed situation, but they put these three things in and then hopefully they try to see, you know, a value, a creative situation. But I think it's very much possible. And I think good, smart PE operators can actually do it well.
I think new age companies mein thoda hard lagta hai, considering I don't think we set up new age companies with a very sorted structure. Like, for example, when Unilever had to build over the last 50-100 years, they followed and they made some mistakes and they finalized the structure that has worked for them and they continue. So today when Unilever has to do a reorg, it happens once in 10 years.
Yeah.
Shantanu, me and you do a reorg every 1 year.
Exactly, Revan, yehi challenge hai na, ki if you think from a private equity guy, that professional pool which has spent 10 years in Unilever is available. But is there a large enough pool which is available? Most of them would ideally want to start up on their own, right? So that pool itself is limited, the underlying, yeah.
Pool is not limited, pool is available, but they have a higher leverage with the existing venture ecosystem. Whereas E47 or a Lightspeed will come and say that I will give you 3 million to khud banana. Why do you want to go and somewhere and work on this? If that leverage pool is identified, right? That is one very clear thing.
Most people who have had 15-20 year careers, na, they don't like the 0-1 journey much. They want like a bigger canvas. Like that's what I've seen.
Absolutely. But see what's happened, right? Like Boat May, when the private equity player took over 40-50%, they got Mr. Vivek Gambhir, who did fabulously for Godrej. But that was a very traditional setup. Now, I don't know what didn't work, but clearly something didn't work, right? Where now I think Aman is back and Samir is back in the driving seat. But at least Vivek, with the principles of being a good CEO, I'm sure he understands and he's done it well. And he's our advisor to Lightspeed. So I'm sure Lightspeed is trying to leverage his expertise. He's an independent board director in a lot of late stage startups. So as an advisor and a coach, it may be a great thing. But if you have to be in the hot seat of the CEO, what the team is used to, I'm not saying that he didn't maybe understand how to run a company like Boat, but the team is used to a certain style. Now, for you to change the entire culture of the org is going to take a lot of time. Yeah. And time is something we have a paucity of, considering how broken our organizations are half the time, right? Like, there are too many moving parts. So what 15-year professionals are used to is a very set process. So there was this very interesting saying, I learned this when limited time in VC, we had a few SaaS companies that we wanted to hire our first VP of sales. And the standard piece, you always find this, you know, Microsoft, Oracle, Salesforce, startup karna hai, I'm getting redundant, I'm becoming a dinosaur. But I was told as a guidance that boss, don't approve any big company VP of sales because they are used to a certain process on how to generate cold leads, how to generate warm leads. Unko pata hi nahi hai, wo system chal raha hai. But startup mein sab kuch khud karna padta hai. Right? So even in a late stage startup, the processes are not fully defined. So for someone who's worked with processes and systems, to have the nuance to say that I will first take 2 years to build this process and systems out while the PE guy is breathing down the neck ki bhai growth kyun nahi ho rahi hai karke. It's a super hard problem to solve.
It's very difficult. So by the way, in Indian context, typically when a buyout happens, when private equity comes in, they typically don't want the founders around because there is like
I'm saying even then the team is used to a certain way of operating. Now, see, that's why I go back to what I said. Lending may, if even a startup, effectively a good startup in lending will follow the same principles as Bajaj Finance. Yaar.
Correct.
Ki kisko underwrite karna hai, kitna aapko loan dena hai, collection mechanism kya hai. I mean, you can't do it at the level where you are hounding with a call every 1 hour like Bajaj Finance does. But apart from that, everything else, a good startup in lending will follow the same principles, and therefore a professional can come in and say, I'll take this ahead. Karke.
Absolutely. So in a brand situation, for example, typically if you take over a brand where there is a, you know, there is a disruptor founder there who's kind of crazy about how to innovate on a particular product, etc. If you've bought that company, typically if I were an investor who's bought, I'm the promoter of that company, right? I would actually say, you know, what worked for that 0 to 1, and Chirag says it nicely, right? Pioneer, scaler, factory owner. The pioneer now has to go because now you need a factory owner or a scaler there, right? Having a combination, like what, for example, what Rohit and Sriharsha do at Swiggy, or what Kalyan and Sachin and Biri did at Flipkart, or what Eric Schmidt and Larry and Sergey did at Google, this requires a lot of thinking, structuring, who does what, very clear roles, a proper board. Only then will that combination of operator plus founder together will work. Otherwise, you typically replace and then you create value. And you give the new operator, like Mr. Kapoor, or you know, see this a lot, you'll give them full canvas. Ki boss, now ye company tumhari hai. Now you are the top dog. And its accountability is yours, then you know, freedom is also yours. Otherwise, wo mix and match mein thoda fight ho jata hai.
Yeah, but I think we should look at what creates alpha, Shantanu. In my view, if you look at any consumer first organization, like you use the example of Swiggy, or even a brand, let's say, usme na major alpha, jo bahut hi non-objective measurement hota hai. It's how do you measure a brand, right? In the end, that's why I keep talking about that passion and purpose that translates from the founder. Or even for a consumer tech company, the product UI UX, like what is the consumer going to experience on the app, that I think still continues to be held by the founder.
Correct.
And I think operators now will operate. For you to assume that the operator will take a gut call, ki yaar kar lete hain, customer ko achha lagega, wo nahi kar paate. Kyunki they have been trained to operate with objective principles. And I think wo jo last alpha hai na, wo disappear hone lag jata hai if you have a professionally. And that's why, see, there is no, I mean, kuch rare cases mein hoga where you will find the operator who will generate that. But you will be able to break down a lot of things in a professionally run company, ki yaar X ho raha hai, isliye Y ho raha hai. Even if it is in hindsight. With brands, I'm telling you, trust me, even with hindsight, you will not be able to say, ki, why did this brand work? People have hypothesis, ki ye founder ne apna achha personality banaya, ya inka packaging dekho cool hai, but we are trying to just search for answers. Even the most shittiest packaging of great brands is saying, kya badhiya packaging hai karke. Right? Wo hota hai, because it is just a personality, right? Some person has said, yaar, mujhe ye pasand hai, mujhe ye karna hai, and they have built an audience around it. You cannot explain that. And therefore, professional operators, and this combination works as long as the core IP, which is either the product formulation or the consumer tech mein, jaise mobile app UI UX hai, ya brand mein jo core messaging hai, wo cannot be operated on.
Yeah, by a that is baked out. Yeah, you're right. It has to be baked out before you take it to an operator and hand it over to an operator. Absolutely.
Absolutely. If we start looking at it from, you know, what we discussed from this lens, I think this, it makes the company Vishal Mega Mart even more special.
Very.
You know, it's not the norm. It's a rare thing that, you know, somebody professional came in, Mr. Kapoor came in and he built out the company over the last 10 years. And it's a fantastic outcome, you know, outside of the other against the norm things which they've done, organized retail in tier 2, tier 3. And maybe we should get there that, you know, coupling the thought of agility with now quick commerce getting to tier 2, tier 3. What's the future outlook? how should would these, let's say DMart, we have seen that they have said that, you know, we are going to double down on value retailing, which is our core offering. We are going to open more stores. That's our mantra to growth. That's what at least they've said in one of the earlier calls. And, you know, while Blinkit says that they are going to open 2,000 stores in the next 1 year, all of these guys, and some of them are going to be in tier 2, tier 3. So will it lead to, I think I have two maybe viewpoints here. Would love to get your views that how should, as an entrepreneur, think about this organized retail tier 2, tier 3 market. By the way, that's the segment which is going to grow fastest from a value point as well as from a percentage growth point. Size itna bada. How, and do you know any startups who are in this space? You know, who are attacking this space, tier 2, tier 3 organized retail, or brands which are doing tier 2, tier 3 targeting. All of us continue to discuss India 1, India 0.1, premiumization play, brands which are, you know, worked in US, some localization, some form factor of, you know, India version. But are you seeing any of those plays, or is this like a green space?
I mean, Meesho in some way was the last big guy to build for the tier 2, tier 3 market. Right? And it's a phenomenal success now, if you see, with $1 billion plus revenue. And they continue to scale and they are profitable.
I think since you were on Meesho, this is how it looks. You know, it serves the same segment, predominantly fashion. Revenue wise, you know, of course, Meesho is catching up. It's a much younger company. Valuation wise, listed at almost the similar range, but look at margin profiles and look at AOV. You know, I keep wondering that what's the online equivalent of revenue per square feet? What is online equivalent of like a Meesho, which is a true marketplace? What is their revenue per square feet equivalent metric?
Very good question. That's a very good question.
You should try and get Vidit on the call on this, and then maybe he can tell us. But I was just looking at this company called Rozana. I was seeing kuch toh,
yeah.
Seems like operating for tier 2, tier 3 markets, Fireside, Bertelsmann, etc. And they're talking about largely setting up the infrastructure, warehousing, logistics, etc. for tier 2, tier 3. To do grocery for those markets. Is that the correct understanding?
And is that quick commerce?
I think pehle quick com nahi tha. Extremely tier 3, not even tier 2. So tier 3, let me find more. But I think recently I read that they are trying to do quick com also.
I am Lucknow founder, very, very purpose driven.
Sorry, kya bol raha
hai? I was just wondering, is Numi primarily targeting tier 2, tier 3? I know that they've opened stores in Bangalore, in Gurgaon. But are they going after the tier 2, tier 3 segment? And you know, they have one of these offline stores, so Shantanu, unke liye to revenue per square feet ho gai.
My hypothesis on your initial two viewpoints, I agree with your first viewpoint. On the second viewpoint, right, which is tier 2, tier 3 India, I think the Vishal story is more a aspiration story for tier 2, tier 3 India, which manifests itself in the apparel and private label category a lot more than it does in the organized retail category. So I think if you think about startups that are catering to tier 2, tier 3 India, I am not in the order of let's say FMCG or quick commerce or apparel. I would actually say the third, which is apparel, is where a lot of the value unlock will happen for tier 2, tier 3 India. So for entrepreneurs who are able to create, you know, massive styling, tremendous amount of, you know, pricing innovations, design innovations, speed and agility in taking it to tier 2, tier 3 India, etc. I think that's where I think the Vishal story kind of points in that direction a lot more than to say, you know.
But Chandra, haven't we seen on the other side, even I was thinking about brand play also, and I have heard him on your podcast only. That the paid Safa guy, I think, how much is that? That's 200 crore brand?
बेटा ना
टोटल रेवेन्यू
थ्री
ब्रांड
फोर मैंने उनको पूछा कितना धन, हाउ बिग इज योर कंपनी, ही सेड 60 करोड़, हाउ बिग इज योर ब्रांड, हाउ बिग इज केश किंग और पेट सफायर, ही सेड अराउंड 60 करोड़, आई थिंक 60 करोड़, आई थॉट इससे बड़ा होगा, आई हैड हर्ड कि इट्स बिगर, हाँ इतना ही पैट होता है, अरे पैट नहीं पैट नहीं रेवेन्यू कितना, बोलते रेवेन्यू नहीं पता, रेवेन्यू देख के बताना पड़ेगा, पैट इतना है तो नहीं, दैट्स अराउंड आई थिंक
No, but then doesn't it mean that tier 2, tier 3 mein the opportunities are very different, right? In tier 1, people are focusing on athleisure and, you know, these very different plays. But somebody needs to look at it from tier 2, tier 3 lens. Opportunity, in my view, wahan par bhi hai.
100%.
We don't need to create those alpha super premium brands for them. But very functional, use case heavy, those kind of brands.
100%. It's a underserved market which is aspirational. So 100% there will be opportunities, not just in retail but more I think in categories and brand.
But building. Are you seeing then, you know, you guys do a lot of this angel investments. Are you guys seeing inflow of such companies, you know, or is everyone just focusing on premiumization because that's just you know, just for comparison, Page Industries is almost similar in terms of market cap. They are much less in terms of revenue. They're 5,000 crore revenue, much higher in terms of gross margin. Clearly serves the premium segment. They have Jockey and Speedo as two franchises. So it's a fantastic business, but that serves more tier one. It's a different way of building the business. We look up to those businesses, but I think there is clearly value, large segment, which can be served in tier two, tier three. I'm surprised that we are not seeing startups in that domain.
I think a lot of venture funded founders don't belong to are not, you know, don't belong to that consumer group. So that's why I think it might take some time, but it's a matter of time before people realize that there is value there to be created. But why, you know, if you're not
like, easiest underwriting in India is when the VC is the consumer. Like how much ever we assume we are all intelligent and smart, there is an obvious bias ki acha ha yaar mere around mere ko ye dikh raha hai to ye pakka banega karke. So, वो bias तो बहुत clear है. You are right कि if you get like I really like enjoy reading the tweets of this guy who runs Bharat Agri, I think, who they have an app for how to increase the yield for the crop for farmers, and it's such an interesting company. And I don't think they had a lot of GMV, but then what they started doing is उनके app पे they started selling the products as well, the fertilizers and stuff like that. I think they are doing very very well from what I see. But it's such an interesting problem statement, right? मतलब इतना बड़ा सेक्टर है, but मतलब you there's no news about it. कोई ऐसे पेपर में नहीं आ रहा कि भारत एग्री फोर्ड
कोई फाइट नहीं है. इंडिया वन में everyone is fighting with each other, you know.
Actually, I realized the other thing. Maybe there is more margin. Yeah, there is more margin in India to India three because सब इंडिया वन में लगे हुए हैं. तुम इंडिया थ्री जाके बनाओ, शांति से पैसा बनाओ करके.
Correct. Yeah, I agree. I'm very happy about Gokesh winning. So that's one big. Yeah. Big one, I think 18-year-old world champion. Just so happy to see. Second, I think both teams tried to make a match out of it before bad light happened, which I again, test cricket is just amazing, right? Australia came out to kind of hit it out of the park and try to put a total and bowl India out. And you could see from the body language of the Indian cricketers, after a few wickets, you're like, we can actually go for the win. I was expecting KL Rahul and Rishabh Pant to come and open and go for the win. But they are the two things that, again, for me, India like really dominating sports is a very good lead indicator to India dominating in markets and other places.
On cricket, just wondering, you know, whether Bumrah and Akash saved us or rain gods?
Rain, very clearly rain. I mean, it rained what? 2 days of the test match got rained out, mota moti. 180 overs got rained
but
out.
But Raven, think about it, that, you know, if Akashdeep would have got out on the fourth day, India would have still needed 30-35 overs, still were bowled. Because follow on ho jata. 35 overs, you know, it's like then result was possible. Not in our favor.
हमारे देश में ना एक ही reason है जहाँ पे पैसा आता रहेगा और entrepreneurs ऐसे ही खुश रहेंगे कि यार बनाते हैं because we are all hopeful कि भाई हम तो एकदम सही है बस बारिश नहीं आती ना तो बस हम ही एकदम बस पहुंच ही गए थे
नहीं मैं तो उल्टा बोल रहा हूँ मैं बोल रहा हूँ हार जाते हैं
वो तो हारते ही हो पक्का
यार we got saved by
35 overs में 10 out हो जाते हैं
I think, but Bumrah Akash partnership was amazing. I think sentimentality of like the motivation of the team, I think, which will carry on to the next test match. Second is, I think the Steve Smith dropped catch of KL Rahul. That was a huge one. I think we would have followed.
Momentum is in our favor now. Let's carry the momentum. ये भी थोड़ा hopeful वाला scene
है. I have a ये for the new year for you guys. At the end of the fifth test, who retires, Rohit or Virat? One of them will have to put up their boots.
It depends. If we are 3-1, then no one is retiring. But I think on retirement we should. Of course, Ashwin announced his retirement yesterday.
Correct.
He'll be the number one test bowler in the world and not be in the India squad. That has happened with him multiple times. ICC rank one and on the bench. On like spinning tracks. So,
but I'm saying that, see, I met him actually at one of the events. And a pretty cool guy, right? A very sorted, very objective. In fact, he was technically semi-retired. That's why he was doing events. And then he got called up out of the blue, right? Ki nahi yaar, matlab, we need you.
Spinner.
Maybe his way, but I really like it when people get a good farewell.
He should have played in India his last match. I feel like, think about it, 537 wickets at an average of 24. But you know, my favorite stat about him is the fastest ever to get to 400 test wickets. But he has 6 test hundreds. People underestimate that he's a damn good batsman. 6 test hundreds.
My favorite memory is India Pakistan.
He left the white ball first.
MCG wala.
First left the white ball. Oh my goodness. That was crazy. The leaving the white ball was like a pro batsman skill.
Wo thoda hai, I think he's a little bit of that scientist ever thinking.
Intelligent
character.
Wo South, South Indian engineer playing cricket. Wo Anil Kumble ke saath bhi dekha tha apne. Like very, very Anil Kumble, Dravid, Ashwin. Very intelligent cricketers. Very intelligent.
Are you saying Rohit Sharma and Virat Kohli are not intelligent cricketers?
I think the intellect is made up by like pure skills. A lot more. Yeah. And these guys are very tactically much, much smart. So I think, for example, Ashwin will make 100x better coach than a Virat or Rohit if they all go into coaching. 100x. You're seeing it with Gautam Gambhir also, na? Lots of aggression and passion. Tactically very poor. Like bahut hi matlab very randomly poor tactical cricket.
Even on your question of who goes out, I think Gautam might go out.
100%.
They just appointed him. They'll give him at least a year.
He should have been out after the New Zealand situation, yaar.
Great guys, have a good weekend, and to our audience as well, hopefully have a good holiday season.
Yes, see you guys in 2025. Revan Chirag, have a great time. And everyone watching Asymmetric, one thing which we would love for you to do is we are not promoting the podcast. We are genuinely thinking that people who are truly interested in second order insights, you know, education, etc., come and watch. So if you know people who would appreciate this, please share it with them. Also, do put in the comments on what more you would like us to cover. We typically pick up one or two things every week. This is not Revan Chirag or my full-time job. So, this is something that we take time out to do. So, any help from people who are viewing with certain amount of passion will be super awesome. But everyone who's dropped in messages appreciating, I think you should know that Revan Chirag and I take screenshots of all the comments and send it to each other and feel good about our investment in Asymmetric. So, thank you for that and keep them coming.